That's gin rummy. That's... I'm sorry. I'm just a little upset. I feel really bored since Darkseid has been dead. Well, you can always just listen to the Bob Culture Podcast. That'll keep you busy, you dumb bat. All right, everybody, welcome to episode 39 of the Bob Culture Podcast. I am joined on the line by Mr. Guy Jurevich, inventor of the Spinball Cymbal Spinners. Guy, thanks for a few minutes. How are you, bro? Oh,
I'm doing great. Thanks a lot for having me, Bob. This is going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it.
Nah, I appreciate it, man. I appreciate calling on Skype. And, you know, like we were saying, dude, you got a great radio voice already, man. So I'm excited to hear the origin story, if you will, of the Spinball Cymbal Spinners. But first, I want to know a little bit about you, man. I want to know a little bit about your background. Are you a drummer? I'm assuming you're a drummer. Are you, like, into science or physics or inventing things? Tell us a little bit about your background.
Oh, cool. Well, yeah, well, for starters, thanks for having me on. I'm really excited to be here. I love talking shop about Spinball. And, yeah, I mean, my background is kind of bizarre, not really what you would imagine for someone who's invented a cymbal spinning product. But then again, I don't know who would be the stereotype for that.
Yeah.
So I have no background in science whatsoever. In fact, my family are all sociologists and historians and very academic. So I come from Amherst, Massachusetts, as well as Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So I grew up in both places.
Nice.
And yeah, I mean, I got my start playing drums real young. I made my first record to click track in a professional studio when I was actually 12 years old.
No way.
Yeah, with my brother's band. They were older high school kids. I was in middle school. And then I went on to continue playing drums throughout high school, doing jazz bands and formal stuff. And ska punk was all the rave in Massachusetts in the 90s.
That's all. Hey, man, that's some of my favorite stuff for sure.
Right? Hey, it's always classic in my mind, for our generation at least. But, you know, went on to do kind of a lot of rock bands, did an indie pop thing for a minute there. I went up to Canada for college. So I got my degree, my bachelor's degree in Quebec, east of Montreal, and then ended up residing in Montreal after. So I was in a whole bunch of bands up in Quebec, from, yep, ska music to even goth and hardcore industrial. And
nice.
I did a throwback punk rock kind of a thing, like a 70s punk rock thing. And then, you know, you name it, I did it. Singer-songwriters, jazz, hit the road with some indie pop bands. And then when I came back to the U.S., I mostly was a hired gun type. So I did cover band work, namely with a Rolling Stones tribute band, which
cool.
did a lot of casinos type stuff. So casinos and corporate gigs. And then the final tour that I did, which was about 5 years ago, was a burlesque and sideshow tour. And that was the Coney Island sideshow mixed with burlesque dancers, and it was known as the Pretty Things Peep Show. I'm not sure if they're still going around doing it, but that was a wild tour, and that was the tour where I discovered sort of some of the spinball stuff.
Okay.
And that was the last time I played professionally, and so ever since, I've been focusing on spinball as a business and as a brand and a product, yeah.
No.
So that's really the kind of fast cruise through my background musically to get me to here I am.
No way, man. So this is like a – so first of all, man, as a drummer, just playing all those different kinds of music, man, you know, I think that's awesome, you know. You know, even when – you know, I started learning when I was 11, you know, and then I played just like you, you know, jazz band, pit orchestra, marching band. I learned a ton, you know, and it's cool learning all the different styles and playing in different bands, man. I have to ask you, man, you know, and we'll talk about how you invented the spinball and stuff like that. Are you about like kind of like the visuals and being flashy and stuff like that? And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just curious.
Well, a little bit of both. Like I didn't really know that I was or wasn't. I mean, I've always been experimenting with gear. So I think the initially it comes with just wanting to try new things. I'm creative in that regard. So I had a big barn that I grew up in a farmhouse, and we had a barn. And that's where I rehearsed and had my drum set. And so when I was a young kid, I would hang these cymbals from the rafters, like 20 feet up above the drum set. So they would hang kind of like pendulums.
That's awesome.
And so yeah, even as a kid, I was doing that at like 15, you know, or 14 or, you know, as a teenager. And so then when I went on to do other bands, it was always image forward, you know, two-tone ska, or, you know, how hipster can I look, or punk rock can I look? But really, it was the goth band, the industrial electro band that I had joined, called Left Side Neighbor out of Montreal. And we played some amazingly theatrical shows, you know, with fire throwers and, you know, all kinds of other ancillary performers. So we had, you know, that was really where I learned to become a showman in addition to a drummer. And then, yes, that totally did inform my touring years after that. Particularly with the burlesque stuff, right? So that's all about showmanship, really.
Adding kind of that visual aspect to playing and all that, you know, definitely gives it another, you know, another kind of dimension. You know, they have those, you know, like light up sticks and stuff like that, or people do different things with their drum set and stuff like this. So when I saw this on one of those, you know, I forget, it was like Cool Stuff for Drummers or something like that, one of those drummer groups on Facebook, you know, someone had just posted a video. And I noticed, like, their cymbals are spinning around. I'm like, oh, they must have it on some sort of motor or something like that. And sure enough, I looked in the comments because a lot of people were asking about them, man. And I found you. I found the product. I bought two of them for the studio that I teach at. They were awesome. They were hit with the students. You know, they're hit in the studio and stuff like that. So, yeah, man, it was meant to be. I love, like, the kind of pendulum chandelier kind of idea for the cymbals. That's rad.
Oh, yeah.
Really cool. Fun. But how did you get to that point of, like, making just a straight-up cymbal spinner? Like, I'm thinking, oh, you know, I see that there's a bearing in there. You had mentioned that, or I'd seen some stuff online about that. I'm like, oh, he's a skateboarder, and then kind of did the math or something like that. But how did this happen, man? What's the origin story?
Ah, yes, the origin story. Well, this is it, man. Look, I'll be very honest with you. I have no background in engineering, but I am a tenacious kid. You know, if I want to do something, I will do it all the way.
Nice.
So what happened was, I'm on this tour with the burlesque troupe, right? I'm dressed all like Nookie Thompson from that Boardwalk Empire show. You know, I had like
bow tie
and arm garters, the works. It was very theatrical. The whole show was all about just performance. And the main distinction here is the audience, right? When I was in bands that were musical forward, we would play to audiences where people were interested in music and knew about gear and equipment. But the whole point about these shows and burlesque or some of the cover band things, these are just people that maybe don't listen to music very often, and they need to be entertained in that capital E way, right?
Okay.
So you have to go the extra distance for those kinds of folks who don't go to see concerts. And a lot of that has to do with, yeah, stick twirling and a lot of eye contact and big motions and, you know, costumes. So, you know, we did this big, bold, bodacious show. Tour bus would roll into town. We looked like a bunch of freaks, and that was what sold the product. Any case, so there I am. I'm in Texas with this tour at the Kessler Theater in Dallas. A beautiful big old theater. It's around Valentine's Day. The audience is stoked. It was a sold out show, so it was a big one. And we always had local openers. You know, who would be our openers? Varied. Sometimes, you know, other dancers or hula hoopers or, you know, you name it. This time, right, it just happened to be a lasso tosser, thrower, lasso guy. And I don't see that stuff. I'm from Philly. I'm from Massachusetts. I don't know lassos. So
yeah.
When I saw this guy throwing these, we're talking huge, man. It would blow your mind to see it. We're talking 40, 50 foot lassos over the crowd. Kind of dangerous.
Yeah, wow.
It was really impressive. Doing very, very technical stuff. You know, in our show, we had a guy whip a cigarette out of someone's mouth. But, you know, kind of near daredevil-y stuff with a lasso. And it was that circular motion. And I had already been doing a lot of performative type bowing during the show, like, or announcing somebody by, like, you know, big arm gesture. And so I just started to bow and grab my cymbals while doing it. I had a crash and a ride, small tour kit, you know?
Yeah.
And I just would spin them. And that was it. I noticed the spinning looked cool. And it was during that show that I just actually kept doing it. I hit the cymbals, noticed a cool vibrato-type tone coming from the little shaky, wobbly thing. I thought that was cool, but mostly it looked cool. So I just kept continually, every break during that show, I spun them. And at the end of the show, they always used to go through, you know, with the band. Okay, there's the saxophone player, and everyone would clap. Or, oh, the guitar player.
Yeah.
And then they got to me, and it was always just whatever. You know, okay, all right, there's a drummer.
Yeah, but I know that story.
Yeah, right? I mean, we're always the last one to get announced.
That's too. All right.
Anyways, so this time round, I got a standing ovation, and I was blown away. And I never get that kind of response, you know. So I was excited. Didn't know what the difference was, and then realized, oh, it must be the spinning. So I continued to do it throughout that tour, practiced it, you know, for certain times in songs where I could spin it. And really, everyone after every show, there would be at least one or two drummers or musicians that would ask me, "What are you doing, and why are you doing it?" and talk to me, and that was sort of, you know, how I got the interest in it. And yeah, I mean, that's kind of bizarre in its own, but then the real bizarre part is then trying to figure out, right, like, how would you spin it, you know? Have you ever tried, like, when you mod stuff for drums, it's not very easy. There's not very many, you know.
Yeah, I'm with you, like, options, yeah.
Like, what are you going to do, right? So I tried grease, you know, I tried taking apart a record player.
Oh, wow.
Toys, like, kids' toys, you know, those, like, whirl-up spin toys.
Yeah, that's kind of really interesting. That's cool.
The record player was the most exciting because it was a mess to make and it was super dangerous. I realized I was building a saw.
No, yeah, I'm with you. No way, yeah, I got you. Uh-huh.
Like, this is dangerous. That's not good. And then it was years actually, tried all these ridiculous methods of spinning a cymbal because the main problem is that cymbal stands and cymbal mounts and cymbal seats or whatever you want to call them, sleeves, I mean, they're not designed to spin. So you would get 20 or 30 seconds, maybe, a, you know, 45 seconds out of a particularly loose one, but that was it. So, you know, I tried everything, really did not succeed in any way. And then it was on South Street in Philadelphia, so a pretty famous kind of rock and roll street. In Philly, and I had been living there and working there, so I, you know, kind of was familiar. And a skateboarder literally knocked me over at a corner, and it literally took that violent hit of me falling down, like my glasses fell off and everything. It was a violent,
it literally just hit you.
Yes, literally hit me. Skateboard fell right in front of my face, and I saw the spinning wheel. And of course, you know, since I was a ska punk kid back in the 90s listening to Real Big Fish and what have you, nice. I knew that a skateboard bearing was 8 millimeters. And that was also the realization that cymbal stands, most of them, many of them are 8 millimeters. So it was right then and there that I had the aha moment of how to actually do this and to make it a real functioning product. So that's the story.
That's a great story, man. That's like perfect, man. That worked out. You were like on, you know, you're trying to figure it out and then literally it just hit you, man. What a great story. That's awesome, dude.
I like it how it's violent like that too. Like it had to slap me across the face, you know. It wasn't just some academic like, oh, let's research this and call some people and see what we can figure out. Nope. You know, it took years, but it happened. Yeah.
You just see that wheel spinning and it's like, oh, you know, like it just happens, man.
Right.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, I mean, immediately I ran to a skate shop down the street. They gave me a skateboard wheel. I put it on cymbal stand. You know, it could spin. It was well too tall to be useful as a DIY kind of a method. But I knew I had something. I actually reached out to an astrophysicist friend from college.
No way.
Yeah, she was great. My friend Alana, she was in bands with you know, sort of our community of musicians. And so I knew she'd be keen to at least hear me out. And I taught myself how to use a computer-aided drawing program, a CAD program, made a prototype, 3D printed it. She looked it over and reviewed it and basically told me that it couldn't get more efficient than that.
Nice.
Ran it by some other engineers that I knew and other product developer types. And everyone said, yeah, I mean, that's pretty simple. So I made these 3D prototypes in Philly at one of those makerspace type places where they've got, you know, 3D printers and what have you. Printed it right up, and then there we were. It was spinning. The first prototype spun for 10 minutes.
Nice.
So, you know, I knew we had something to work with.
That's awesome, man, and really good. In fact, I went so far as to, you know, spin one and, you know, hit the stopwatch on the phone. And sure enough, it was almost 10 minutes, man. You know, just incredible, man. Just kept going.
Oh, cool.
So props to you.
That's what I love about it. It's so freaking efficient. It's so small and it does, you know, exactly what it needs to. But at the same time, it doesn't overdo it. A motor would be really very dangerous, particularly you mentioned kids in a studio. Like, that's not a good idea.
Yeah, so. Exactly. But it's perfect, man. It's just a simple concept of the bearing and the, you know, the symbol holder coming together, man. It's crazy.
Well, and that's the other thing, right? So there's that stereotype, you know, oh, you can't reinvent the wheel, or I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel here, that saying. Well, you know, Spinball really very much is reinventing the wheel. Because we're just basically seeing symbols as wheels, you know, seeing that, you know, it's a circular product. And so, you know, to get into the things I discovered afterwards, because I was keen on it for performance and that vibrato, you know, it looked cool and sounded cool. But then I didn't realize, and it took months and months of, you know, developments and conversations with players all over the place to realize just how much of a protective element it is. So I didn't go into it with that intention, but a beautiful byproduct of having ball bearings is that it'll randomize your striking locations even if you're not spinning it, so that it's going to eventually you'll be hitting your symbol in a different place every time, which is really great for its wear and tear and depreciation to be even. Keyholing.
Yeah, totally. So, I know what you're saying about the sound and hitting a different location. Didn't even think about in terms of, you know, cracking your cymbals and, you know, the wear and tear on your cymbals. That's a great point. I didn't even think about that.
Well, we have that myth, you know, there's that myth of the sweet spot on a cymbal, right?
Yeah.
And people say, oh, yeah, well, my Zildjian Sweet Ride's got this sweet spot right here.
Hey, I got that sweet ride. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, it's kind of a classic, you know, that kind of a thing where there's like, oh, there's this one spot on this one ZBT or whatever, you know. So everyone's got their favorite symbol, their favorite spot.
Yep.
And I get it. I had those too. I had these beautiful dream symbols, and, you know, I enjoyed, you know, kind of figuring out where my favorite spots were. But in actuality, in reality, there shouldn't be such thing on a symbol. I mean, it's a circle. You know, they're made in with lathes, you know, with being a circle in mind, so that, you know, letting it react naturally and actually have a lateral left and right reaction as opposed to just vertical up and down is pretty much common sense for anything circular. So whether that's a Lazy Susan, whether it's a wheel, whether it's, you know, even a combination lock or a top, I mean, you name how many things are circular. They're stronger when they're spinning, and they're better used when randomized. And so that even goes to our planet, angular momentum is the main force that keeps our planet spinning. And so it's that momentum that actually increases the strength of a cymbal that's spinning. So it's not actually dangerous for the cymbals unless they're cracked or broken. It's not dangerous for you. And so, you know, it's just, for me, you know, having a kind of a basic general knowledge of science, was the way that I think that I was able to make sense of this from a branding, from a business owner kind of perspective, is that I'm not a professional, but all of this makes sense to me with just basic science knowledge. And then I had that confirmed by true scientists and realized, okay, well, this is now even more fun than we thought. So, yeah, I mean, I feel really good about that sort of a secondary element. And that's something that we're going to be focusing a lot more on coming into 2018, you know, coming into the busy season here.
Nice. Yeah, totally, man. And real quick, I mean, obviously, I think I know the answer, but, you know, how did the name come about?
Oh, my God. Well, so it's a portmanteau, right? Just two words put together. Is the name of that compound word. I wasn't even familiar necessarily. I do have a degree in like language and cultural theory, and so linguistics were certainly on the tip of my tongue. I mean, I speak German. That language is all about compound words.
Okay, cool.
So I kind of, you know, just basically ran through a bunch of ideas, and when Spinball came up, in what it was actually it's pretty cheap. The real reason of how I got it, but there's these online word jumblers where you put in like two or three words and it'll kind of make different mixes and matches of them. And when I saw it for the first time on one of those, I knew it was the one. But I liked it because it was a new word, so that I was able to get the, you know, the Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and the URL for it without much effort. So it makes for a cohesive branding. So it's easy to find us.
Oh yeah.
With a new word, for SEO and things like that. So really I just saw it on one of those jumbler things and said, oh, that's the one. And I didn't even look back, you know, and
it works, man.
Saw it and like, yep, that's it, dude. I'm all right.
No, it's a home run, and I'm totally with you on that whole like SEO thing and kind of having your own word. Like our band name is Vection, V-E-X-T-I-O-N, and we are the only Vection. You type in, you know, Vection in Google, that's what you find us, you know.
You got to be able to stand out from a marketing perspective.
Dude.
You know, if you're competing for attention, it's really a shame. And in our industry, there's the sweet spots and sweet spots clutches. And I love
that's right.
Sweet spots. I mean, I've met them both. I mean, I've been conversed with both of them, both companies, but that is genuinely confusing. And it's a real shame. One's Canadian, one's American. I understand there's some issue there, but you know, it can be really challenging when you have to compete for just your name.
Yeah, no, totally, man. But this one, you know, this one's a home run. I want to ask you just in a second about some of the initial reactions you got, you know, after you invented it, you put it out there, how are people going to find it, stuff like that. Real quick, I want to chime in and just kind of tell you my experience. I told you I found them.
Oh, please. Yes.
Oh, yeah, man. You know, and I want you to hear this, man, because I'm just getting positive feedback from everybody I've shown. So basically, I found it, you know, I told you I found it on Facebook and one of the drummer groups and one of the videos. I went on Guitar Center. I was ordering some new heads. I'm like, you know, let me pick up a couple of these Spinballs. I got two of them. So I go to Guitar Center to pick up my order. I had it shipped to the store. And the dude, you know, the drum guy who's always, you know, they always have the drum guys there helping you out. And he's, you know, right. Make sure everything in the box is the way you know, you ordered it. And I'm looking. He's like, oh, what are these? And he's like, I'm like, oh, they're these cymbal spinners. They're really cool. He goes, oh, let me know how these work. Like, he was so intrigued. He's like, oh,
awesome.
Can I take it out of the box? I said, yeah, go ahead, man. He looked at it. And, you know, I explained to him, I had read that there was the bearing in it. And he was like, you know, these are, you know, guys that know a lot of stuff about drums. Obviously, they work at the store. They've seen everything. And he was super intrigued. So next time I go back there, I got to tell him that it really worked out. I brought him to the studio. You know, everyone there from the kids to the teachers were really intrigued. In fact, I may have some new customers for you from the school. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. But
awesome.
But yeah, really super well received to the point where, you know, people come in and start spinning the cymbals and I'll be like, oh, I didn't put them on yet, you know, like, so they remember. And I think it's really going to catch on. I mean, my first thought was when I saw the video, I'm like, oh, this guy like rigged a real cool motor to his cymbals. That's very interesting. And thankfully, it's not a motor, like you said, for a lot of reasons, for safety issues.
Mm-hmm.
But just such a simple concept, man, and it easy setup and, you know, ready to go, man. I'm all about the visuals, you know, just because, you know, like you said, you know, people giving you that standing ovation, you know, when just they remember those little things. Like I'll use these light up sticks that I have and they're terrible to play with. They're like flimsy and not balanced. And but people go crazy for them. You know, it's such a,
no, I'm
such
sure
a,
they love them. Yeah.
It's such a stupid little thing. But these spinballs are way cooler. The spinballs are like awesome. I want to get all my cymbals going, you know, spin them before a song and get it going, man. But just so you know how it's been received, man. I think this is going to catch on,
man. Thank you so much. And that's actually the exact trajectory that I was hoping. Actually, when we launched, you know, my goal was never to overplay myself and my own role in it. So I don't know. You'll probably rarely see me personally playing the drums on any of these videos I was forced to at the very, very beginning.
Sure.
Didn't have any interest.
Right.
But at this stage of the game, I'm trying really hard to support other players. And so, you know, the exact trajectory of, okay, you get them, you had them shipped to the store, which I even like more than just from the website to your house. But, you know, the idea that, you know, you talk about it and you're all wondering together, you and your students, your friends, your other teachers, hey, what is this? You know, why are we doing it? Okay, whoa. Okay, you know, kind of that discovery motion.
Yep.
Because, you know, I like the idea of musing someone else's creativity as opposed to just sort of, you know, saying, oh, do this one thing with it. Well, when we launched, we didn't know what people were going to like. You know, is it the visual? Is it the sonic? Is it the practical? And now we're, you know, explaining all three when we present the product. But, you know, I do like it that it's versatile. So a lot of drummers will keep it just because it's practical. They're practical type dudes. They're not flashy, but they want their cymbals to last. Great. You know,
totally.
Flashy guys like you and me, maybe because you have flashy sticks or, you know, I love that performative, something else to stand out, something to be remembered by, to make the show engaging.
Yeah. You're putting on a show, then, man. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. But then sonically, I'm very, very happy to say that the band Calexico, so Calexico, they're on Anti and Epitaph Records.
Nice.
They're a wonderful band out of Southern California. And they just got back from Europe. They're about to launch their U.S. tour for their new album, The Thread That Keeps Us. And track 4 on The Thread That Keeps Us is called Spinball.
No way!
S-P-I-N-B-A-L-L, yep. Mm-hmm. And it's an interlude. It's a short song, but it's definitely the best sonic you know, example of what Spinball is. So Calexico, John Convertino, their drummer, he's one of the main members of the band. You know, he was one of the first I reached out to, knowing that he was a sonic experimental type drummer. And this is a soundscape creator. And he really played into that extensively. Great feedback from him. And so, you know, there are guys that use it sonically, including symphonic orchestras. So,
no way.
You know, if you imagine like a 30-inch suspended cymbal, these massive, huge, beautiful cymbals for symphonic orchestras. I mean, we've been played in the Buffalo Philharmonic, Columbus, and Cleveland, and some of the major symphonies in the country, and they're finding similar sonic benefits from it as well. So, you know, all three approaches have been moderately successful in their regard, and so we're really entering what we're hoping to be what I'm calling the year of spin. You know, 2018 is the year where we really kind of spread our wings, because 2017 was all about just exploring and learning and collaborating. And so now we get to kind of, you know, on the heels of our Drummy Award win, we're poised to get a little bit more direct about, hey, this thing works and it's proven. And we've had only one return of a broken spin bowl. And that was, I think, fairly confident somebody using it terribly improperly, but
yeah.
So these things are abuse proof, which is another great thing we worked hard on. So yeah, this is the year of spin, my friend.
I like it, the year of spin. And I'll tell you what, man, I'm down in Jersey, the Jersey Shore area, not the TV show Jersey Shore, as you know, we play around Asbury Park area, so you know, a lot of, you know, Bruce Springsteen, you know, I'm right down the street from E Street, you know,
E
Street band, so, you know, very big, you know, music area, very big local scene, a lot of great acts coming out of this area. I have a lot of these bands on, I play with a lot of these bands, you know, so I already know, as I've seen with some other products, drumming products, that there will be some comments when they see these in shows. We got some shows coming up in June and July, and there will be some comments, and I will have them give you a call or shoot you an email, because I think it's going to catch on. And the only bad thing about that is I won't be the only guy with the spinners over here, you know? But,
well, that's the other thing, though, is it's a great way to stand out.
Yeah.
And the earlier you get on board with it, the earlier you can figure out what works for you, what you like about it,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, kind of get in your groove. You know, the same way drummers, you know, didn't have splashes for the longest time and had to figure out, oh, where am I going to use this in my act?
Right.
There is a creative turnaround. So the band Calexico, with that song, you know, they released that record, came out in, you know, January, late January. I was at the NAMM convention when it came out.
Oh, I was going to ask you about that. Okay, nice.
Yeah, I was at the NAMM convention when it came out, but they had gotten Spin Bowls as far back as, I mean, he had early prototypes, so February the year before. So it was a whole year, you know, for him to really get it out there. And now he's playing it live. You know, there's a creative turnaround. And so the earlier you're on board, the earlier you're confident and comfortable with it too, because there can be some awkward, oh, like which direction am I spinning? What part of the song? Like,
totally.
You know, is it during this breakdown? So kind of getting that learning curve out of the way, especially before the summer season.
That's where I'm at. Yeah, no, that's where I'm at right now. Mm-hmm.
I used to play down in the shore a lot. We played a lot of shows in Avalon and Wildwood. So, yeah, the shore music scene is so hot. I love it. It's awesome. There's a good community around it.
Absolutely.
You guys support one another. And in terms of the Philly scene, it can be, you know, a bit more, you know, kind of corporate-y and more, you know, main classic U.S. urban center. But then you go out to the shore and it's more, you know, guys want to talk and actually hang out and figure out, you know, how we can support each other. So I totally love the shore mentality. You guys are awesome.
Awesome, man. I'm glad you know the deal. And I'm very familiar with Wildwood and Avalon. Totally, man. That's awesome. Yeah. You know the deal.
Some of our most fun shows, too. Like, good. It's just a good time, you know?
Absolutely, man. You know the deal. I always got to ask, you know, I have a lot of, I guess, people who've invented products on, you know, specifically in terms of drumming and drums. And I got to ask you this. I know it's a very, what's the word I'm looking for? A very, very specific category, but I got to ask you, you ever watch Shark Tank?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Did you ever think about that?
It's funny you mentioned that because before Spinbowl launched, like the brand and the company launched, we had some exposure from the Philadelphia Inquirer.
Nice.
So I was on Philly.com as well as the Philadelphia Inquirer Weekend Edition, which is their largest distribution of the newspaper. And so we were on three of their outlets, including Daily News Weekend Edition. So
awesome.
We had like millions of eyes on the product before we even launched it. But one of the headlines they used, which was kind of clickbaity for Philly.com, was he's like Keith Moon meets Shark Tank.
No way.
and then went on to describe the product. Well, the Keith Moon thing comes up kind of a lot, and the UK guys, because of Pinball Wizard.
Okay.
Spinball Wizard. I kind of see that. So okay. I see where they were going with that. It took a minute to connect for me.
Right.
But the Shark Tank one came up. And it's funny because I actually am loosely affiliated with some of the inner workings of Shark Tank. So
no way.
Philadelphia auditions for Shark Tank used to take place at Next Fab, which is the place where I did my prototyping with the 3D printers. They're no longer done there, but that was one interesting connection. And then actually my other industry that I've done, you know, as many musicians and artists and creator types have, is hospitality. So I've been a bartender and a barista and a waiter and you name it, restaurant manager. So I used to manage a beer hall on South Street. If you guys ever been on South Street, you'll know the place, the German place. And Lori Grenier came in from Shark Tank.
No way.
with a few restaurateurs. So Steven Starr from the major catering and the major restaurants, as well as the dude from Bar Rescue. I forget his name.
I'm with you. I can't.
Super tall guy.
Oh, man. I'm with you, though.
But at that job, we had some pretty wild guests. So, you know, the mayor and, you know, a bunch of rock stars. But so I've actually served Lori Grenier, and she had a good time, but she got real nice at the end and gave me like a what we call a verbal tip, you know, where they say, you are the best waiter, you know. It was really sweet.
Yeah.
But I got a nice verbal tip from her about you were the best waiter. And at the time, I wasn't really a Shark Tank dude, and somebody, one of the waitresses, was like, yo, dude, that was Lori Grenier. I was like, oh, what?
Yeah.
So, of course, I've gone on now, having launched the company, to being a viewer. And there actually are auditions on May 10th in New York City pretty soon.
Really?
But, yeah. And so I was aware of them. And basically what I've decided is that I'm going to hold off right now on auditioning for two or three reasons. One, the main reason is that I'm actually not the sole owner of the company any longer.
Okay.
Spinbull is – since we went live last year and before it, I've actually got support from private investors as well as the LaSalle University incubator.
Interesting. So
it's a business incubator done by LaSalle in Germantown, Philly. And so that does complicate things to a degree where, you know, it would be a lot to talk about on a TV show. Having multiple partners and investors, as well as having student involvement and sort of going through our first iteration of this thing. And the other reason is that we've only had one Christmas season to show what we can do retail wise. It was very strong, but we are looking forward to, you know, having more data to provide before going on a show like that.
Makes sense.
So we're only 11 months in right now. The auditions are the day after our year anniversary. So it would be, I feel, a little premature because we really are a product, not a business. We're a brand, most certainly. We have one major product. But, you know, being that we're incubated, it's pretty obvious that eventually we are going to seek, you know, acquisition or otherwise known as acqui-hire, or to partner up with or license the product to, you know, a major brand. And so right now we're focusing primarily on continuing to secure our intellectual property. We do have a utility patent out for the Spinbull product, which is phenomenal. But we want to make sure we have all of our ducks in a row before taking that jump.
It's a good plan.
I mean, I do think it would be – I think a fun one for the show. Cool to look at, fun to see. You could bring a rock star on with us.
Yep.
You know, so I mean, if we do it, we want to do it right. But I also don't want to be that kid who goes in too prematurely and kind of bumbles around. And
yeah,
you know, even though it could be great exposure, I would actually want to go on there for some real help. And so, you know, doing it right's the way to go in my mind.
I was literally just going to say, you're doing it absolutely right. I love that show. I watch it all the time. If you're unprepared, I mean, they're not going to take, you know, anyone who's unprepared seriously. But right. I like the play going in there with a musician. You know, I know a couple of those sharks really are pulled towards some of that music gear. And stuff like that. Maybe Lori will even remember you, man. You know, who knows?
Well, that's it. And the other thing that I think about is that in this tech age, man, we are like what? We're talking on an app on smartphones with computers. I mean, it's very, you know, there's AI. We are loaded up with tech right now. And everyone's trying to make the next big hot tech thing.
Yeah.
But this is as simple as it gets, analog invention. And so it's like there's a contrast there that I think might actually be a breath of fresh air to Shark Tank. This is a really simple analog invention. And that's what I've always liked about this show is it's not too tech heavy and does rely on legitimate physical analog inventions a lot. So, yeah, I'm it.
No, totally, man. And that's another thing I like about it. You know, it's simple. It does its job. Like you said, like only one person ever returned it and they probably messed it up real bad, you know? Like
no, what it was they just like they screwed down real hard with their wing nut. I was like, look, if you're yanking anything at a certain point,
yeah.
But it didn't actually break, it just sort of squeezed the bearing out of the way. So the funny part is the testing process we went through was a hilarious month of doing all kinds of bizarre things to Spinbull. It was so much fun.
That sounds awesome.
I wish we had filmed it. Maybe I'll film it again. But sledgehammers, smoke, dust, beer, coffee, food. Like I put it in a burger, you know, and then tried to spin it.
No way.
You know, we went nuts with it. So it's really is gig bag proof. So if you're playing a beach gig down the shore, or you're in, you know, I don't know, some kind of a club with those haze machines or water, you know, we wanted to make sure that it could survive. And so we use uncut nylon, so there's no fiberglass in there or any kind of fillers. And we're stoked to say we manufacture this in the U.S. So it's manufactured in the state of Arkansas with American labor. So I'm very proud of that as well.
That's important, man. Good for you, man. Fantastic job Thanks. Out of you. Great, man. Hey, and the most important question, you know, I'm all about shameless plugs here on the Bob Culture Podcast. Where can we find the Spinball?
Ah, yes. Okay. So Spinball right now is kind of an e-commerce play. We launched pretty aggressively out of the gate with a Guitar Center musician's friend, Music 123, and Brad Woodwind Brasswind distribution from that Guitar Center family of websites.
Gotcha.
We got very lucky that we did that through our own channels and not a major distributor. So we are available on all those websites as well as to order for Guitar Center. You can find us on Amazon as well. Our Amazon Prime account is nice because you get the free shipping and it's real fast delivery. So Amazon Prime is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
We're also in Percussion Source as well as Steve Weiss Music. And I have to give a shout out to Steve Weiss. I mean, those guys run a real tight ship. I got to meet them up at Rittenhouse Soundworks with their friend Jim Hamilton. But the thing about it is that they do capital P percussion equipment, and it's a very, very heavily curated and, it's really professional grade stuff. So being included there really means a lot to me personally. So Steve Weiss Music, and then if you're in Philadelphia, my friend's, store on South Street's called, Bridge Set Sounds right by that German beer hall. He's a great friend of mine. He's got some there. We're available in store in my other hometown of Northampton, Massachusetts, as in the Connecticut River Valley. So there are a few store locations, but mainly, you know, we're all over the e-commerce platform. So we're also on Reverb. So Reverb, Amazon, Guitar Center, Musician's Friend. We're in the catalog of Musician's Friend 2. And then internationally, I don't know how many international listeners you have, but we are available through Gear for Music, which is a very large European online e-commerce platform. So that's been translated to like 21 languages. We're available in local currencies all across Europe, mostly in the United Kingdom. We have some wonderful connections through our distributors at the Music Shipping Company. Great guys. And then our Japanese partners, Kikutani Music, have done a wonderful job in Japan with Spinball, and wow. We are spreading our wings out there. And we also have amazing Australian and New Zealand partners, Inferno Music. Pretty cool guys, kind of a pirate theme. Very cool.
That's awesome.
But yeah, so we have achieved some pretty aggressive international distribution. We are available on 5 continents. But I mean, right now we are focusing on being available for e-commerce simply because it's small, it's cheap to ship, so it's affordable. And, you know, in terms of the mom-and-pop stores, we're kind of waiting for the stores to come to us in some ways because, you know, a lot of stores are not willing to take on a product that's not from their distributor because, you know, a lot of these guys will just open up a catalog and say, oh, I'll take that and that and that and 3 of those and 4 of those. And if it requires another process, they're not interested. So yeah. We've actually had, you know, a lot of complications dealing with a lot of small mom and pops. And even though it is heavily demonstrable and easy to show, hey, this is what it does just by spinning it, it's a real shame that, you know, generally purchasing trends are going online. So we're kind of embracing it and we're focusing most importantly on, you know, just getting our name out there at this stage since we are available from these major retailers. We are hoping to be in Guitar Center stores on their floor by the end of the year. There's no guarantee there, but we are definitely a strong contender, and I've had wonderful conversations with the corporate management, and we're pretty confident, though, that at some point in the near future, we will be on the floor as a Guitar Center. So I'll tell you, there's my little rant. Yep.
No, that's good, man. That's good stuff. Good to know. And I'll tell you what, I told you, the dude working at Guitar Center, he was like, oh, what is this? You know, he was into it. So they better get that out on the floor.
Well, I just think it'd be one of those fun things where, you know, if I worked at one of those stores, I would be kind of fidget spinnery bored.
Yeah.
So I would go and spin it just to have something to do sometimes. So I think the guys who work at those stores would like it a lot too, you know?
Oh, totally, man. No, for sure. Yeah. And real quick, I got to ask you, man. I saw a little while ago you guys had buy two, get one free promotion. Do you guys have any more sales coming up or any promo codes in the future or anything like that?
Ah, good question. Well, we did a buy two, get one free spring special. We did that for about 2 weeks at the end of the month. It was a good one. It went well. We are going to be launching some new ones. At the exact moment, we do not have any specials on our own website. However, a lot of our partners have really good spring specials. So
nice.
I know for a fact that Musicians Friend and Guitar Center are going to have some really nice touring season, you know, kick off the touring season kind of sales.
Yeah.
So they'll have some good ones, and you know, I will definitely make sure to you know, get you in the loop for our next major one, because you know, if any listeners are on the show, hey, reach out to me. We like to throw swag in where we can. So if we know who's buying the spin bowl, hey, well, why not? We'll throw a t-shirt in if we can, or you know, if you're just really excited about it, you know, let us know. And you know, if you're planning on tagging us on Instagram or Facebook, that's where we love to share extra units, because see, we don't do a traditional endorsement program because we're a small company, because sure, it's a cheap product. You know, it's not really the proper quid pro quo to say, you know, tag me in all your stuff for a $14, $12 thing.
Yeah. Totally.
So, you know, but if someone's interested in doing that, we love reposting our supporters, and we take care of them. And so our Instagram following now is about to hit 13,000 in less than 11 months. You know, that's a pretty good turn. And so, you know, it's good exposure. So, yeah, hit us up if you're listening and you want to, you know, get spinning on some videos and you like doing that kind of thing. Don't hesitate.
Awesome. And I'm all about that swag. You know, that's good stuff. And you guys are at Spinbowl, right? Just on social media pretty much all around, right?
Yep, Spinbal on really everything, YouTube and Facebook and you name it. But yeah, our Instagram is really our main primary channel because, you know, it's so visual and so video visual forward that it suits us really well. So, yep, I do want to give a shout out to one other company in particular, which is Woodland Percussion. And this is definitely another topic for another time. But if you're interested in Spinbowl and the spinning cool visuals, Woodland Percussion out of Avondale, PA, rather.
Okay.
It's a little out of Philly, but he is doing custom cymbal patina design. And so our second patented product is a patina solution that can patina cymbals to be real dark.
No
from
way.
From which it's real easy to stencil out designs.
What?
So,
that's awesome.
Yeah, I know. It's nuts. Because obviously the spinning look cool. Well, how can you make it cooler? Let's customize some cymbals.
Oh, man.
Patina ink is really dangerous. We had a cool, you know, we were approached about a cool product. And so we also sell a patina solution so you can DIY it at home. But, if you're interested in sort of something more professional, our friends at Woodland Percussion, and they're listed on our website under our collaborations section, but, they are doing beautiful, absolutely stunning custom cymbal patinas that are designed to look good spinning. And so I can't say who and I can't say what and exactly where, but a major artist will be using some custom cymbal patinas done by our two companies, as well as another major company. And actually, it'll be released on a major platform this summer. So stay tuned.
You know,
we're just tip of the iceberg with the cool cymbal art. I mean, strobing kind of trippy, spirally type stuff is now possible. And so, yeah, I mean, if you want to open that, go down that rabbit hole, go to spinball.com.
I do. I do, man. Totally. That is like super interesting. And I got two things to say about that. One, I'm all about, you know, my Bob Man kind of moniker. I have that Super B, like the Superman logo with the B. That's like my thing. That might have to happen on the symbols. That's pretty cool, man. We'll talk. And then I'm going to throw some guesses at you. Not while we're recording here, but I'm really interested to see what's going on, who this major artist or artist may be. I'm very interested, but we'll talk.
Yeah, well, yeah. No, and maybe I'll come back on next few months when we've got some more exciting stuff to talk about. But Spinball, really, in essence, what I'm trying to do and what we are succeeding in doing is really challenging the fact that symbols are holy, right? Symbols are great, but they're not, you know, it's not like you can't customize them. You know, drums are great, but, you know, you can customize them. And so we want to make that happen to cymbals too. We want to see them differently. We want them to sound differently, look different, have different utility, create different meaning, just by being visually exciting. But also it's creating a medium for artists. And in this day and age, you've got so many people, focused on their identities or their logos or their, you know, whether it's their faith, you know, if it's a cross or a Star David on a symbol, you know, or if it's, just their area code, Philly's all bent about 215, you know, repping your neighborhood, repping your band's logo or, you know, the genre. I mean, you can see a pentagram on there, right? So the idea is that we want to, you know, open up symbols to the level of customization and excitement that drums have been afforded, including drum heads. So, we're just trying to, you know, challenge using science, using chemistry and physics, challenge, you know, sort of the status quo of what symbols are, because, you know, as you know, most major symbol companies are focusing on reissues and there's not that much in the new department.
Totally.
That's what we're trying to do. We're filling that blank.
I love it, man. That's super exciting. You know, I got my kryptonite kit. It used to be black and, you know, we rewrapped it. We took everything up. So it's got kind of like that glowing green. I call it my kryptonite kit, man. So, I think adding, you know, obviously the spin bowls, are going to go over well at the shows, I think this summer. And I'll let you know about that. I can almost guarantee it. But getting some of these designs on the symbols, oh man, we're going to have some fun.
Oh man, I look forward to it. And also, do remember vented cymbals. If you've got holes or little lines in your cymbals, you know, just throw a light under there, like a nice strong spotlight, and then now you've got spinning circles on the ceiling,
dude,
or vice versa.
Oh man, this
that's the easiest way to get the biggest bang for your buck out of spinning cymbals right off the get go. Josh Berrios from the Drummers Corners group out of Brooklyn was the guy who first did that. It was cool.
That's awesome.
Real cool.
That's good. Yeah. Good stuff. Hey guy, I appreciate a few minutes of your time, man. You gave us like all the info. It's a great product. I'm sure it's going to pick up over here in this Asbury Park area. I'll keep you posted, man. I'm going to spread the word. We're going to get some more of them over at the music studio. And yeah, man, I'm stoked. It was great talking to you, man. I appreciate your time.
Hey, really, thanks so much for having me on. I love talking shop. So really, anytime. And if you're listening and you want to talk shop too, don't hesitate to reach out to me personally. I manage all the social media myself. So yeah, feel free to get on out and we'll keep the conversation going.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Guy, you're the man. Guys, check him out. Make sure you follow him at Spinball across the board. Guy, thanks again. We are out. Peace. Hey guys, thanks for listening to this episode of the Bob Culture Podcast. If you'd like to support the show on Patreon.com for some great incentives, check out Patreon.com/Bob Culture Podcast. I'd like to thank my newest patrons, Michael Michelle Vermillion from Sledgepad LLC. Sledgepad is the revolutionary bass drum dampening system that make blankets in your bass drum a thing of the past. I love my Sledgepad and is currently being used by drummers from national acts such as Pink and Collective Soul. Use my code BobMan007 at checkout for a special discount. Check them out at sledgepad.com. Finally, don't forget to support the show by leaving a review on iTunes or give me a like on facebook.com/Bob Culture Podcast.